What are some of the factors that contribute to lower literacy skills in Indigenous children and adults?
Certainly for children, it's the fact that there's a very high level of low literacy within the community and their parents and grandparents and so on. So that's one very significant reason, and probably the reason that we're trying to reset, I guess.
Mm.
The issue around adults is, simply it's been a failure, a historical failure of the education system to be able to cater to the needs of Aboriginal people. And by and large, those things can be built around, not being culturally appropriate in the way things are done, not dealing with the culture and the spirit of Aboriginal people in the classroom. The whole system is built, to meet the needs of non-Aboriginal people, in particular, white people, if you like.
Mm.
And those things need to change. And they have been, I don't deny that they have been trying to change those things over the years, but it's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very big system. But, when you're caught in the midst of this thing called closing the gap that everybody got excited about 12 years ago, and you look at it now, and for me personally, and I know for a lot of friends of mine, people despair at the day coming around, purely and simply because very little, if anything, is moving.
Mm. Speaking of moving forward, what is it that Literacy for Life are doing to help boost literacy and empower people?
Well, basically, we go and work with the community. When we're invited in, we don't go anywhere that we're not invited into. So it's where people have identified adult literacy as a huge need in their communities. And then we go and work with the community to assess their capacity to support a literacy campaign. And then it goes from there, and we just work with the community. We build the community or their capacity to actually teach on the program. So the program is theirs. I've often said to people, the first thing we do when we enter a community is begin the handover process so that the community actually owns the campaign.
Mm.
And the community has to own the campaign before any classes start.
Wow.
So there's 3 months of leading up to the classes starting, which is the socialisation and mobilisation of the campaign model itself, and the training of all the local staff to work on.
How many staff do you tend to train in each community?
Well, we have at least one person who is the coordinator.
Uh-huh.
We provide, generally it's been an external person as a support person to the community and the workers on the campaign, and that's someone at a bit of a higher level, but that's not always the case. In Campbelltown recently, we had a second Aboriginal person that fitted into that role. And we train at least two, sometimes four, facilitators in the classroom.
Wow.
To work with the students, men and women. And prior to doing anything, we train usually about 8 or 10 Aboriginal people in survey work, and they actually go around and survey the households, one, to get a bit of an idea around, what the rate of low literacy is in the community, and secondly, to ask people if they want this in their community.
Mm.
So the community is given the choice right from day one. They invite us in. We go in and we meet with, the leadership or a group of people in the community to talk about it. Then we come in and do a household survey. And at every point, we're asking people, do they think this is a good idea for their community? So, and many communities have said to us, and said to me personally, they said, Jack, you mob were the first mob that's actually ever come and ask if we wanted something.
Mm.
That's a telling story in itself.
Mm, absolutely. What has the response been like from the communities that you're going into?
Oh, I mean, absolutely amazing. We've got an average graduation rate of 67%.
Wow.
in the communities, and in the communities that we're working in out in Western, Northwestern New South Wales. In those communities, if you look at TAFE and other private providers that are providing literacy classes at level one, or the basic numeracy and literacy courses, they're graduating people at 5 and 10%. They're not our figures, they're their figures. You know, we ran our first campaign in Santa Teresa, just out of Alice Springs, last year, and we're continuing on there for another 3 years with that. But that that actual campaign out there had a, it was a small intake, but it had 100% retention.
Gosh.
And only one person didn't quite get over the line in terms of the Australian Core Skills Framework assessment, but he's rejoining the class to do it again this year.
Fantastic. What are some of the barriers that Literacy for Life face in your operation?
I think the biggest barrier for any charity is money. Yeah. At the end of the day, you have to, you know, all these people are paid to do the work. Yeah. And we're paid to do our work. But the thing is that you do require money, you do require resources, but the savings on the back end of what we're doing are enormous. And several people have said to me over the years, you know, we started out in 2012 out in Wilkenny, and ever since then, you know, nearly every interview I've had with people over the years about the work and how successful it is, they said, Jack, we can't believe people aren't throwing money at you. And that's the truth of it, you know. If you look at all of these programs, Closing the Gap's been in place now for 12 years. Now, if nothing's moving, then what that is clearly telling you, that very little is working. Whatever they're doing is not working. That's what we do know.
Yeah.
The other thing that we know from a foundation point of view is that this works, and it works because it's the local community doing it themselves. Mm. And why, you know, the question's got to be asked is, with these big organisations and small organisations have been providing programs now for 20 years and nothing has changed at a community level, you know, those characteristics that were there, you know, 20 years ago and 30 years ago still exist. Shouldn't someone be asking the question, why are we continuing to fund this operation and this program?
If nothing else, you'd think it would be good business sense to think, oh, this isn't working, maybe we should reassess how we're spending our money.
Yeah, exactly, because that's exactly what business does, you know. Yeah. If something's not working, if something's sitting on the shelf and not moving, then business very quickly analyzes that and says, okay, well, this is not working, this is not selling, let's
shake
get
it
out
up
of that line.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't seem to be doing that with the lives of Aboriginal people.
Do you think that government level support for a program like Literacy for Life would be beneficial?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, if they raise the level of that support, I mean, what we're talking about, and we've asked the government now on several occasions for $20 million over 5 years to roll the campaign out nationally to see if it's as successful when you scale it up as it is now. And if it was successful, then what you would just do is roll it out nationally and deal with the issue of low literacy. Because once you reduce the low level of literacy in any community to 10 or 20%, it becomes self-perpetuating and you've actually eradicated adult literacy.
Yeah.
Because people, it will just continue on.
Like, breaks the cycle.
It really does,
yeah.
And it's the one thing. And if you're going to close the gap, now literacy won't do that on its own, but without being literate, you're no chance of closing the gap.
Yeah. Can people donate to Literacy for Life and to the foundation?
Yeah, they can. They can go to the website. It's lff.org.au, and they can donate on there, and you know, they can keep in touch with us. We put, you know, our results up there fairly regularly and other things up there about what we're doing. You know, we've been evaluated very well over the years and you know, our results are not, you know, just our own thoughts on what's happened. They've been independently evaluated and we've been involved in some fairly significant research around what we're doing to establish the facts. So
it's obviously working.
It is working, and it's, you know, and at the end of the day, the bottom line is, that's what we should be looking at. We should be looking at what's working.
Absolutely.
And committing to that.
Absolutely. Jack, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning and for all the incredible work you're doing.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for the chat.